Good evening, this is Mark Lynch and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is musician, drummer, Patty Schimmel. She's played or recorded with bands such as Doll Squad, Hole, Juliet and the Licks, Pink, Imperial Teen, Death Valley Girls, and many others. And we're going to be talking about her new book, Hit So Hard, a memoir. Patty, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Same, likewise.
Well, and after reading the book, it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah.
This is a very tough and a very honest book, at times very brutal and harrowing. Writing it, what did you get out of writing it? Like, was it at all cathartic?
Yeah, it was. It was difficult going back and revisiting a lot of the tough moments and kind of reliving some of that stuff and in telling the story. It really felt good to complete it, you know?
Yeah, I can. Because I kept waiting for that part where you were like, okay, at the end.
So many moments in it I lived through it. I there's so many moments in it where I'm like, God, don't do it. Oh my God, you did it again. You know, like you're making the wrong choice every time. And finally, yeah. So that was one point about the book was I wanted to write that story, that my story, and be honest.
It is.
And not it romanticize
is. Oh, no.
My heroin addiction at all. And it isn't pretty and it's not cool. And that's what I wrote about. And that's a big part of my story and that struggle to get through and to get out,
Now, I want to mention there's also a documentary film. And the great thing about the documentary film is they get to see you drumming, which, by the way, if people listening have never seen you drum, that's always amazing.
Ah, thanks.
Oh, you're one of the great drummers.
Thank you.
Now, the book begins that says you were born recovering. Explain what that means.
Both of my parents are in recovery. So that was part of my childhood was, that was part of the language in my house was they were both recovering alcoholics. And that was just, how I grew up. So, I'm not like my mom and dad. I'm different until I had my first drink at 12. And then I understood what it was all about. I definitely think that I'm predisposed to the disease of alcoholism because I had a double dose of it from both parents. And, I thought, I would be able to not let it turn out the way it did for my parents. I would be able to be, a normal drinker.
But it also made you really familiar with the whole 12-step thing. So you sort of knew it was coming. You could sort of dodge around it sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. Having the knowledge of the language and what it was all about, that's what kept me out longer was just knowing what was expected and I had to do to get clean, and it was a mountain of things. And I wasn't willing to do any of that.
Now, if that wasn't all, tough enough, I mean, if fifth grade is like, as you describe it, was your end of innocence, you then realized as a teenager that you're gay, which is just another whole pressure situation if you're not living in a group that is supportive.
Yeah, and not only feeling uneasy and awkward as a person in the world, but then also then being gay. And so when I had my first drink, then I felt I felt sort of a relief. I felt in my body and comfortable. I felt that way when I played drums too, that was the gift of that drums gave me early on. And then And then eventually punk rock, discovering punk rock and seeing other, you know, freaks like me, you know, and seeing other women playing music too. So the punk rock and playing drums in punk rock bands kind of, you know, saved me early.
I love reading all about that early stuff. So what would you describe as like the first rock bands that you really, really cared about?
Yeah, it's going to be funny, but I really, really loved Kiss.
I almost fell off the chair, but that was great. Yeah. It is. It's a client for that age. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's generational. It definitely, for sure. And you know, when you're a band and you get a kid, you know, that you capture a kid at 11 years old, you know, you keep them.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
yours for life, you know, and that's how it is with Kiss, with me. You know, they got me at 10 and 11, and now I'm still, you know, still love Kiss.
Part of the
and
Kiss
I'm
not, army still.
Not ashamed.
Good.
I have no shame in that.
Talk to me about how you finally found out drums were the thing that you were going to play.
When I was at a school assembly in elementary school, and a band came through for an assembly, and I saw a drummer, I saw a guy playing drums, and I thought I was just totally fascinated by it, wanted to be a drummer, and, you know, and then being, into, you know, rock music and, a big fan of different bands and, you know, with John Bonham and Led Zeppelin and, you know, Kiss and Peter Criss. And, that was the beginning of being fascinated by drums.
Now, your first band was Milkbone?
Yes, and that was early on in high school.
Did you play all originals or did you play covers?
Yeah, we played a lot of originals, but we played like maybe a Venture tune and...
Oh, cool.
I think we played a Jam song. We played a song by the Jam. Yeah.
You describe in the book that being in a band is like having a girlfriend. I'm going to ask you to expand on that.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's all great at the beginning. It's the honeymoon phase. You're writing. And then, you know, then things start to go south, you know, and either you work towards keeping it together or you don't. And then, so then when you break up, you think you'll never be in another relationship. You'll never meet somebody like that person again, or, you know, and then you do, and you get, you know, so it's like, then you meet, you get into another band, and, you know, there's always, that was my experience, at least, you know, leaving one band and then thinking I'm never going to find another band, and then eventually getting into another band, you know, how it is.
How did you first meet Kurt Cobain and Courtney?
I met Kurt when I was playing in bands in Tacoma. My punk rock band, The Primitives, played a show.
Oh, wow.
With the Melvins, and Kurt was at that show.
Oh,
and
man.
That's how we all met. And, you know, then going on and playing other shows, and then, you know, then Nirvana plays a show, and then we go to that show. And it was just, you know, a lot of... different bands in a small scene playing shows together.
So Courtney decides to start the band Hole. Was it automatic that you were going to be the drummer? Were you the first choice?
No, actually, there was an early, you know, Hole is originally from Los Angeles, and their first incarnation had, you know, two other, a whole different rhythm section. And then they put out a full-length record and a couple singles on Sub Pop, actually, a Seattle label.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And when Kurt and Courtney met, her band sort of had disbanded, and she wanted to sort of get it back together again and start playing shows. And Kurt recommended me to play drums, and that's how it started.
Wow. Now, you were very close. You were very close to Kurt. And there's a really sad scene in Hit So Hard where you were with him just shortly before he killed himself. And He seems, you know, I can only talk from seeing it from at a distance, obviously, as a fan and a person who enjoyed the music. He seems like was such a nice person. I couldn't believe he killed himself.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming at all?
No. And, you know, my personal, like, my feelings on it is that there's that choice that people make that either, I felt like he, you know, if he didn't want to be clean and sober, you know, he didn't want to be, and that it made him feel, you know, maybe that was his thing that made him feel whole and, you know, together. And so his choice was to, check out and kill himself, you know, that doesn't have to be a choice, you know, for people. And there's help for people, you know, to not make that choice. But I feel that that's where things go. You know, for me, I was in the same place. You know, it led me to that same place in life. And some friends have OD'd, you know, and I think to myself, what is different? Why am I here and they're not? You know? And so that was also a part of the reason why I wrote the book, was to talk about that too. You know?
Is it sort of like survivor guilt?
Yeah, it definitely. And you know, and I work on that stuff all the time. And I work on, if there must be a reason that I'm here, you know, and if that is, you know, the reason is because I'm a mother to a 7-year-old, and you know that's the reason. I I'm her mother.
That's or, good. It's a good enough reason. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of different things that, you know. So I make sure that today, and since I got clean and sober, that I, you know, there's things to do, and you know, just to keep on to be better. You know, and yeah. It's very corny, but it's all true.
I totally get that. And not only did you lose Kurt, but shortly after that, Kristen Pfaff OD'd.
Yeah.
In a bathtub. So you lost two close friends in a very short period of time. And I know from reading the book, this just doesn't help you detox or quit or anything.
Yeah. I mean,
it just sort of pushes you more into that situation.
Yeah, that's explained in the book that, you know, it was sort of a moment of pause for me. I took a pause, but I definitely did not stop, you know, using drugs the way I wanted to. And that's the way it is for all addicts. You know, it doesn't matter if, you know, your friends die, and people are constantly saying, you know, and judging as well. What does it take? You know, what does it, you know, for a mother to get her, you know, her child taken away and still not, you know, but it's all part of the disease. It doesn't, all those things, it takes what it takes, you know, and no one knows what that's going to be. You know, for me, it took losing everything, you know, and having to start over again and, you know, go into a rehab and a sober living for half a year and let go of my old self and start over.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is musician, drummer, Patty Schemmel. And she's played or recorded with bands such as Doll Squad, Hole, Juliet and the Licks, Pink, Imperial Teen, Death Valley Girls, many others. And we're talking about her new book, Hit So Hard, a memoir. Patty, I got to ask you, okay, after reading all the experiences being in Hole, talk to me about that, because it seemed really complicated. Like, what's Courtney, what was it like to deal with Courtney as one of the band members? I mean, it seems like it was sometimes really chaotic. I'm being maybe generous. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think you're totally fair in the book. Like, you just put it all out there.
Yeah. My point in the book is to talk about my experience and the way I dealt with that chaos was, you know, through drugs and alcohol. But that the chaos came along you know, some nights our shows were, you know, we play a few songs and then Courtney would go off on Eddie Vedder, you know, and it was like, you know.
So as a drummer, what are you doing while happening?
There's so many, you know, I talk about that is that, you know, there's sometimes when I would just, you know, on the humorous side, I would just like have a newspaper next to my drum kit, which I would then pick up and start reading. And she didn't know that I'd done this. I was doing it through most of the tour. Whenever she went off on something that I was ridiculous in my mind, where I would just be like, can we just play the songs? I would just pick up the newspaper. But it was sort of like my quiet rebellion there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, but it was such a, when things were nutty and crazy for me, I just, you know, would reach for drugs, which would then in turn just keep me on that crazy hamster wheel, you know, and then get back to, you know, play a show, get back to the hotel room, and then it's quiet. And then it's just me and my thoughts.
Right.
And that's the worst time for somebody that's an addict, because, you know, you just want to shut it down. You just want to shut down, you know, it was, or just coming off tour and then having that quiet. It was hard.
You did detoxes several times, as related in the book. You actually talk about the art of the 4-day detox. What is that?
Right. Yeah. Trying to get around, first of all, keeping the secret that you're strung out from the rest of your band, which I always thought I was, but I don't know. Now that we're all, you know, we're all older and we talk to each other, everybody knew. getting off tour and then getting strung out, and then you have to go back out on tour again. So you need to, you know, and for an addict, you're always like, well, I'll start tomorrow. And then tomorrow turns into, you know, next week. And then, so, you know, you check into a hospital and you pay with a credit card and they, you know, you do a quick 4-day detox. And then on the fifth day, you're on a plane to wherever your tour starts, you know, and it was a lot of that. And then trying to pull it together to, you know, to be in show shape. And then sometimes not being able to, you know, to stop and get into a detox and then just go out strung out and then have to, either, you know, kick on the road, which I did many times. And that is definitely the loneliest and worst feeling, you can have, you know, it's definitely, not living the rock star life. That's for sure.
Right. You talk a lot about the physical effects and the appeal of heroin, about the feel. And I have to say, reading this book, I learned a lot of things I probably shouldn't know, like about how to buy drugs in New York City and L.A. And how to make a poor man's crack pipe using Chore Boy scouring pads.
Uh-huh.
And all that detail is in here, and you put it all down, and it was an amazing thing to read. Is there a difference between rehab and detoxing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, rehab is... A detox is just getting the drugs out of your system, you know, so that you're not, addicted. It's just sort of like getting you off the drugs. And then rehab is about, your behavior and the things you do as an addict. And, you know, a lot of people go into a 30-day rehab, which that's what most insurance will pay for, but that's not enough time to get clean and sober. It takes, I feel like it's such a racket, but for a different day to talk about. But it's just, you know, it took me a long time to get off drugs and to change how I lived. You know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
You really go to the absolute bottom. You're using crack and heroin. You're selling stuff for sex. And for me, the saddest part is that you're gay and you're putting up with sex with men, which is just tragic.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's where, you know, it doesn't matter what it is you do to get what you need, you know, it's to get cash, to get high, you know, and it's all about chasing that high, you know, and that feeling came the first time I shot heroin, and that was the only time it ever, you know, and so it's like years of trying to get back there and get back there, and nothing, you know, never, and you never will, you know, but you can't stop trying. And
that's right.
It's such a tough life.
There's a real cinematic moment in the book where you're walking by a church and talk to me about what you see inside.
Yeah, I was on the street and I walked by a church and there's a drum kit inside and I looked at it and I thought it was a reminder of that I am a drummer. I'm a drummer. And I thought to myself that I was so far away from that part of me and so far away from, because my day-to-day was all about getting high and that life I was in, and like minute to minute. And it was sort of a flashback to my old self, you know?
Yep.
And
Your final detox, your absolute final detox was at March 1st, 2005. Is it Cry Help at CRI Help?
Cry Help, yeah.
What I found most interesting when you talked about it is, you know, everybody goes, so that was the moment. And you said there's no one moment when you felt, talk to me about that.
There isn't, you know, because I don't know if there was anything I did different that last time, and that was that I didn't have a house to go to. I had nothing. So, and then I did what they told me to do, which was go into a sober living after rehab, but also letting go of my, that idea that I was a drummer in a rock band, you know, and that was all I was. And that if I didn't have that, I was nothing. Which once I let go of that and let go of ego and let go of all the stuff that goes along with that and just started over as a blank slate and just got humble, that was the beginning of the recovery for me, was just getting a day job and, you know, going to work every day was such a big deal, you know, because I was like doing, doing a day job. I hadn't had a day job in a long time and like just sort of like getting into that groove. Like it's break time, you know, you go outside and you have a cigarette, you know, like just regular stuff that, you know, it was just being basic and, the most basic day. Here's what's in front of you. You just need to do these things, go home, you know, read a book, go to bed, you know, and that's what changed for me, was just being willing to do things differently and not be caught up in being a rock star and how flimsy and ridiculous that is, you know, and then discover, like, figuring out what I like about myself, you know.
Do you still play?
Oh yeah, I mean,
I knew that I knew the answer from reading the book, but I needed to hear you say it out loud.
Yeah, I play in a band called Upset, and I play, you know, whenever friends want to get together and play music, or I'll sit in and play with a friend's band. I just sat in with that dog is a band that I loved. And I sat in at Riot Fest and played a song with them. And
cool.
My band played at Riot Fest Chicago. And I tour. And, you know, right now it's about, you know, I play drums and then I write. And I write about everything but being a drummer in Hole. I'm over. Yeah, it's done. Close that chapter. Moving on. Yeah.
Do you think it's important for your daughter to see her mom still playing out?
Oh yeah, it's important for her to see, I think, women playing music, and it's important that, you know, visibility, you know, and it's important that girls you know, I'm in Rock Camp for Girls. I donate and teach there, and I donate my time there, and it's for girls so that they, you know, it's about learning an instrument, but it's about empowering girls and giving them the tools,
right?
To speak up and to write out their feelings.
Has your daughter shown any interest in the drums yet?
Yeah, she's interested in the drums, but she's interested in guitar. But you know, she's seven, so she jumps around. Right now, it's all about the violin.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever go? Do you ever play with her?
Yeah, we've done some sort of jamming before.
Excellent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're completely out of time. My guest tonight has been musician and drummer Patty Schimmel. She has played or recorded with bands like Doll Squad, Hole, even though she's over that, Juliet and the Licks, Pink, Imperial Teen, Death Valley Girls, and many more. And we've been talking about her new book, Hit So Hard, a memoir. It's really a good read. Patty, it's been a real pleasure. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You listen to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.